Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We continue in our study, Have Faith in God. We are still considering that second call, referring to the calls of Peter. We've looked at the first call. We've looked at the second call. We're going to take a final look at that second call. Faith being the great fundamental of spirituality, it begins the Christian life. It sustains the Christian life. It empowers the Christian life. It brings us in a close walk with God in our Christian life. We've seen Hebrews 11, saints of old testifying that faith in God is well placed, it is secure. We see that God develops the believer's faith by trying him, trying his very faith in God. You will go through it. I will go through it. Well, we have been considering Peter, his first call there at the Sea of Galilee, the 3 years of training, and the night before the crucifixion, we read this, Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, Peter specifically, that thy faith fail not when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Oh, but Peter knew, and he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And Jesus went on to say, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter boasted, in essence, Jesus, you are wrong. I am so ready for service. You don't get it. That's all going to change. Verse 32 of Luke 22, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He didn't sit there and make a big argument with Peter. He said what he had to say and moved on. And he said, I am not going to pray that this trial is taken away from you, but rather that your faith fail not. See, Peter had to endure the trial of his very faith. You boast of great faith, Peter. You boast of great spirituality. But the truth is, when you're put to the fire, you're not what you think you are. And that trial would change him for good. And then he would be ready to strengthen the brethren. I want us to truly consider this man who has gone from one proud boaster, secure in his spirituality, to come to the realization, I am not what I thought I was. I thought I understand what Christianity was. I had a head knowledge from 3 years of training, but I did not have practical application in spirituality. Peter is called to strengthen the brethren. We see him strengthening the brethren when we read the book of Acts. We see it very specifically in his letter, 1 and 2 Peter. In 1 Peter, he writes, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and he's going to write to these scattered, suffering believers. Read it in verse 6 of chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, and is this not the essence of our series, Have Faith in God? Peter has gone through the fire. He's a changed man, and he is now writing to these people, let me tell you about the trial of your faith. I have been there. I have done that. I once thought I was so incredibly spiritual. The truth is, I was way off in my thinking. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Christian, underline that. Because that really is a very important aspect of the Christian life. You will be tried by fire. I don't want to hear that, Pastor Holler. Neither did Peter. Neither do I. But God says, I want to refine you. I want to burn out the impurities. Your faith will be tried with fire. Now do you believe me? Well, Peter, after he was tried and converted, he was equipped to help others in their faith. This man who once boasted of his great spirituality came to the reality, I'm nothing. In me, there is nothing. Oh, I thought I was something. I was telling Jesus how to run the ministry, and I actually denied the Lord. I told God I would never, God in the flesh, I told Jesus I would never deny him. He was a broken man, and then he was usable to God. Thus he wrote, continuing on in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him the glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The trial of your faith, and the conclusion needs to be that your faith and hope might be in God. Rely on God, not your own intestinal fortitude, your own bootstraps, your own strength, your own thinking. No, it's all about God. I want us, though, in this particular part of our study, to consider something that's very interesting that Jesus said to Peter. He said, you're going to be converted. This is not talking about salvation. We are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, when we put our faith in him, and that alone for our salvation. It's not Jesus and our good works. It's Jesus only. That faith in the work of Jesus done 2,000 years ago is what brings our salvation. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe? Do you have faith in what he did? You have everlasting life. Now, Peter's been a saved man for several years. And he says you need to be converted. In other words, you need to be changed to be ready for true Christian service. Peter thought he was ready for Christian service a long time ago. But God looks deeper and sees what's needed, the change, and he sees that all of us need to change. We bring into our Christian life baggage. And there are things we need to stop doing. There are things we need to start doing. The truth is we need to have changed thinking. This is where Peter was. Peter, you're thinking wrong. Oh, his heart, if you will, was in essence, can I say this, on track. He wanted to serve God, but just God wasn't doing it his way. So he needed to fix God first. And he's going to realize it wasn't God that needed to change, it was him that needed to change. I want us to consider converted Peter. Because God wants all of us as believers converted, not salvation, but service. It's not our natural abilities that he was trying to develop in Peter. It was his very faith and broken spirit. Hence, we're talking about believers for spiritual maturation. This trial that was going to come upon Peter was going to convert. It's going to change him. This man whose mind was made up. The old expression, our minds are like concrete, mixed up and rock hard. He was going to change that thinking. You're wrong, Peter. I can tell you, Jesus says, I can look you right in the face and tell you something, and you contradict me because you think you're so spiritual. But when Peter is converted, he is no longer going to tell Jesus what or how to do it. But he will be ready for service. By way of review, we saw last week Psalm 51:16. What does God want? Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. What does God really want from his people? The sacrifices, God, are a broken spirit. Your life is crushed. That which was our own little domain, God says, I want that broken. And God wants a broken and contrite heart. Your heart is your innermost thinking and convictions. God says, I want that crushed. I want that contrite and broken. Because you know what? We all have faulty thinking. We come into the Christian life with what we once thought. And we have to realize, boy, oh boy, do I have a lot to learn. Herein, I'm going to make my point, which is a very powerful essence of this message. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and listen carefully, when thou art converted. Did you know? You will know when you're converted. When God laid that on my heart, I had to really walk away and ponder it. Peter, you're going to know when you're changed. It's not going to be some magical thing. And this is an incredible truth that we must consider converted. To convert, to turn about. We're going to change. Not for salvation, but our very attitude towards ourselves, towards God, and towards our Christian service. Peter, I have to change you. Right now, you think you're quite a guy. I have news for you, Peter. When thou art converted, in other words, Peter would know. And it's not going to be pleasant. Because in Luke 22:61, Peter denied him three times, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That's what you tried to tell me, but I knew better. And when that reality hit home, it hit him so hard in verse 62, he went out and wept bitterly. He was converted. And it crushed him. He's no longer confident in himself. Dear God, did I really do that? It's interesting, in verse 61 of Luke 22, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That's all he had to do. And Peter remembered. Do you sometimes have the Lord lay something on your heart and one day it comes to you and you remember the word? I remember reading that. I remember hearing that. I remember the preacher talking about that something and God brings it to your mind. Peter was no longer confident in himself. He no longer told Jesus how to do things. He couldn't even boast to Jesus there on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus said, do you agape love me? I phileo. Do you agape love me? I phileo. Do you phileo? God, you know, I can't even stand here and say I love you. I am so broken. You're converted, Peter. You're where I need you to be. You weren't really ready for service, but you thought you were. I want us to consider, are we ready? I am not going to say that everybody is going to experience the same exact thing that Peter went through. Some kids are going to grow up in a Christian home. Yes, they need mom and dad's correction, but they may never go through this intense denial and bitter weeping that Peter went through. But I do believe they will have a time that they will know. Maybe in their teen years, maybe in their young years, maybe in their adult years, when they do have a change and they really realize, God, you got a hold of me. I do believe every believer does have, if I can use the expression here, the converted experience. I'm not going to say, though, you've got to fit the mold of Peter. But are you truly prepared for ministry? P- Peter had 3 years of intense personal training with Jesus Christ, and he was not ready for service. That is an awesome thought. Sitting in church, Bible study is wonderful. Do you have the practical application? Have you truly made it personal? Has it truly affected your life? Peter knew. You will know one thing if you're truly ready for Christian service. It's kind of a paradox. You really will say, me? And in one sense, there is truth to who am I? Because no human being is fit in the hand of God. And yet by the same token, if God calls, God empowers, He wants our obedience. Moses certainly had his debate with God. I can't do that. David, who am I that I should be son-in-law to the king? And yet the truth is, while we ought to feel insignificant and in ourselves quite inadequate, the truth is in God, we have everything when we're going to, Lord, I'm going to go in faith, and we see it in Hebrews 11. And they went in God's power, not in their personal power. When you're truly converted and ready for Christian service, you're not going to tell anybody how great you are. Like Peter. I'm not going to deny you. Jesus didn't even answer. And when he did it, he just looked at him. 3 years, Peter thought he was right. He did not think he needed changed. The teachings of Jesus were academic only to him. They weren't life-changing. Boy, was he wrong. Did you know that this is not written for us to condemn Peter? I have a sneaking suspicion when we get to heaven, God is going to tell each and every one of us, you're more like Peter than you realize. It's easy to read about this. Boy, that Peter. We probably would do well to, when you read these passages, change the name Peter to your name. Do you see yourself in Peter? Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. If I am true to that passage, I have to tell you that fundamentally, everything I do, I think I'm right. And everything you do, you think you're right. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Peter, you weren't right. We need to get our thinking contrite, crushed, and therefore then look to God and get in His Word and let that form our thinking. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, and God says, that is the thinking I have to break. Because that's what we bring into the Christian life. That attitude is wrong. It's faulty thinking, and it must be broken before we are usable to God. And yet I want you to find great hope in this, that Jesus Christ knew Peter was going to deny him. Jesus Christ knew that Peter was going to be obnoxious. But Jesus looked at the potential. He looks at your potential. Guess what? It's different from what you think. But it's there. We have to let God have His own way. He made us. He knows what He intended for us. Why are we telling Him what to do? God makes no mistakes. And He wants to truly fulfill and develop that potential that He has put in you. You were not planted in time and space by an accident. You were planted for a purpose. And God knows that, and He's trying to work it, but how often do we resist because we fail to come to the grips? Thy will be done. Sometimes we want to carry that and say, well, this is me. Well, great, change. That's what we see in Peter. Change. Ultimately, Peter was converted. He accepted who he was in God, but he certainly was not the boaster that he once was. And he went on to do incredibly great things in a broken, converted condition when he had to rely intently upon God. Dear God, there's nothing in me. You want me here at Pentecost to speak to these people? You got to give me the power. And he went in the strength of the Lord, no longer in his own wisdom. When he was converted, I want you to consider what he did. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. But if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Your faith is being tried by fire. He's writing this as a changed man. Now, I want you to think, had Peter written this letter before he was converted, he would not have said it the way he did. Well, you need to just toughen up and tell Jesus that you're not going to deny him. And you need to tell Jesus we need to be booths up here because this is good at this Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Politely, shut up, Peter. He needed changed. And he is writing to these people, how are you going to deal with your trials of fire? He surely didn't say, I got the answer. It is very interesting to read 1 Peter 1:1 through verse 12. But I want you, first of all, to read verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore? You must understand that Peter, when he starts writing, he cuts to the quick. He doesn't waste any time getting to the root of the issue. I know you people are hurting. And he immediately, in verses 1 through 12, gives them the answer, and he says, therefore, based upon everything that I just said in verses 1 through 12, let all of those teachings in verse 1 through 12 gird up the loins of your mind. The doctrines presented in verses 1 through 12 lay the foundation for proper thinking in the midst of a fire by trial. It's not Peter's words that he would have written before he was converted. He already knew everything. But after he was converted, he wrote with a different mindset. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I want you to just briefly think. You could do doctrinal studies in length on this passage. Elect! The first thing he's getting these saved people who are greatly suffering. Do you know you are chosen by God? Let that soak in, suffering believer. How were you elected? By foreknowledge. Because God knew you from the foundation of the earth. Suffering Christian, would you let that soak in? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And then what? Through the sanctification of the Spirit. Do you understand the Holy Spirit is working in your life to sanctify you? Unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Son of God shed His blood for you. Do you know who you are, you suffering believer? By the way, do you see in that verse God the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus Christ? You have the Trinity. The whole Trinity is working on your behalf. Are you suffering? Would you please appreciate the doctrines that are being set forth here? Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is what the Trinity is trying to give you. This is written from a man who once so arrogantly boasted, I'll never deny you. You better look to the Trinity and God the Father and His Son and the Spirit and their work in your life. You're elect. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you. Would you please, you suffering believer, learn. I want you to truly appreciate this converted man. Blessed be the God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Do you understand what we have in the resurrection of Jesus? A lively, a living hope. This is not a crossed fingers. Hold on to your rabbit's foot. No, I hope this is okay. I hope this is okay. It's a living hope. Suffering believer, do you see what you have? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And listen to this in verse 4. Do you understand you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you? Christian, are you suffering? Is your faith under fire? Let your thinking be established by these incredible doctrines of God. Verse 5. Not only do you have an incorruptible inheritance that doesn't fade away, it's reserved, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, you're kept. Not just your inheritance in heaven, you're kept. What are you suffering? Would you please remember who you are? Written by a man who once boasted and he wept bitterly and he said, let me tell you the truth, you've got to get your thinking in aligned with God's thinking. He then addresses the very real thing. You rejoice, but you are through heaviness, manifold temptations, a trial of your faith. Do you understand, you suffering believer? God is in all this. The only person that can try your faith is God. Because he is in control and he is literally developing you. Would you realize you're precious before the foundation of the world to be what God wants you to be? Whom having not seen you love. In whom, though you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. I want to back up, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Do you understand the Lord is returning? Would you understand that doctrine? And that God is preparing you for the return? Verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you realize he's giving them credit for doing something right? He's not browbeating them for having a problem in the midst of their fiery trial. By the way, you're going to verse 9, receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. One day, faith will become sight. Oh, Christian, would you please let these doctrines establish your thinking? Be changed. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, who do you think the prophets are? The Old Testament prophets. They inquired and searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that should come to you. You have what those Old Testament saints wanted. They could only look forward to it. You have it. Would that establish your thinking? Verse 11. Searching what? What manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify? The Holy Spirit was in them at the time they wrote. And it's signifying to them when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Do you not realize what they prophesied actually came to pass? By the way, Peter is writing this as one who watched those sufferings. I do know I was there. You may not have been there, but you heard the stories that he came, and the word of God that was foretold by the Old Testament prophets came to pass. Now would you have faith in the word of God? Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels wanted to look into. Do you realize the time we could spend on all those doctrines? The point I want to make is these were written by a man who once boasted in his incredible personal ability, and he's saying, it is not me, it's all about God and his truths. This needs to establish your thinking, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Oh, my thinking was in my own ability, and there I walked and talked with Jesus. And he had to convert me. He allowed me that experience to make me usable. And now I can write to you. It's not about you and it's not about me. Let your thinking be settled on the goodness, the power, and the truths of God. Then you're going to be usable in the hand of God. This man once boasted in Luke 22:33, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Well, that sounds good. You know what? I like to think I'm ready, but I can't say that. It's easy to stand here in this air-conditioned room, comfortable. But can we really say what we would do when the authorities come in and say, "You're going to jail"? The great truth I see illustrated in the life of Peter, he denied him three times. But what does Jesus want? Jesus wants us to deny ourselves. Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Your cross is the daily life that God has given you. You read that, take up your cross. It doesn't say go look for it. Don't go through some intensive prayer service to find it. Folks, your cross is within reach. It's right in front of you. It's called your life. Are you a citizen? Be a good citizen. Are you a neighbor? Be a good neighbor. Are you a father? Be a good father. Are you a wife? Be a good wife. Are you a husband? Whatever. Are you an employee? Whatever it is, that is the cross God has for you, because in those daily activities are the trials and tribulations of life. Take them. Too many people are wasting time looking for God's will. Folks, start with the obvious. God did not make a mistake when he planted you in time and space. Accept it. Fulfill those duties, and if God has more for you, let it with him. Because you and I don't know, he knows. Do the obvious. See, following Jesus is not a game where you deny yourself. Boy, when Peter was called that second time, his eyes now, his spiritual eyes, can I use the expression, were wide open. I see life much differently right now. Now, Peter, based upon the last 3 years, based upon the three denials, based upon weeping bitterly, based upon, I told you, you're going to one day have your arms taken and spread out, signifying the death you're going to die. Now will you follow me? Peter followed him, but with a whole different attitude. He was a different man. That second call was a lot different than the first call. He left his nets, he left his boat. It says he forsook all, but he still had an attitude that he didn't forsake. 3 years later, that attitude had to be forsaken. One of the keys to spiritual maturity is only wanting a relationship with God. Psalm 23:1, can we really say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? That's not that he is not going to give you needs in life. I don't want anything. And put that together with the trial of your faith in James 1:4. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Lord, the fire has burned it out of me. I don't have to have the new car. I just want a relationship with you. That's what I want. I want you to be my shepherd. In our study, we have considered Peter, his first calling and his second calling. But let me give you a very practical truth. We don't have two calls. You're called every day. When you wake up, will you follow me today? Some days it's a lot easier to get up and say yes. And some days you may have a knock from here to here and you say, "Dear God, do you know what's on my plate today?" And he says, do you know I've already been there? Did you know that before this world was founded, I elected you and I knew what you would go through? Did you know I've already been there and handled it? When Joshua looked at the city of Jericho, God gave him past tense, I have given you the city, past tense. And he hasn't even gone to battle yet. Do you have that kind of faith? The battle is already won. We only have to go claim it. Every day we are called into the ministry. By way of a very practical challenge, do not leave this room browbeating yourself and seeking for the conversion. Just seek to do right and let it with God. That's His doing. He will guide and direct as He sees fit, and He will bring trials and tribulations into your life that will bring about needed change. It doesn't say Peter was told to go convert yourself. You just keep doing right and trust God. In the midst of your fiery trials, read 1 Peter 1 through 12 and let those doctrines establish your thinking in the midst of your trial and let it with God. The hymn, How Firm a Foundation, verse 4. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not harm thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. I hope you never sing those words the same again. The Christian life begins by faith, and the Christian life is lived by faith. Very quickly, let this hand represent you. This is the beginning of the Christian life. Let this hand represent you. Let this billfold represent sin. God loves each and every person, and we have a sin debt on us. God hates the sin. God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner so much He's not willing that any should perish. And He realizes and He wants us to realize there's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of this sin debt. It is far too great and we are far too inadequate. And therefore, in His mercy and His unwillingness that any should perish, He provided the perfect one, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on the form of a man, was God in the flesh, therefore lived the perfect life, and at 33 so years, He went to the cross. And your sin and my sin was laid on Him. He gave up the ghost. He rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize I have a sin debt. There's nothing that I can do to get rid of that sin debt. But Jesus did it all. And I put my faith exclusively in His shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. That's where I am saved. I put my faith in that. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to be that sin payment. Whosoever sinner believes in Him, His work of redemption shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.